Note several paradoxes of these crusades. The first paradox is that Christians who in the beginning had proclaimed only a new Jerusalem that is heavenly and awaited the coming of Jesus and a participation in the life of God now were involved in a real estate and trade adventure, to be sure, in conquering the Holy Land as a political and religious acquisition. Secondly, the last and fourth crusade ended with Christian warriors sacking the city of Constantinople, which was a Christian city. In other words, it was sort of like let the dogs loose and all kinds of things happen. And thirdly, Christians today who find themselves terribly upset at Islamic jihad or holy war need to develop more extensive memories and acknowledge the fact that the notion of a crusade, of a holy war, is very deeply ingrained within Christian tradition. A second and equally sad manifestation of the Constantinian outlook is the Inquisition, which later became known as the Holy Office, which was a cooperative effort between the state and the church to establish uniformity of doctrine and observance within the political realm, and used violence, even execution, from the 13th century on. Heretics were tortured, killed, in order to extirpate heresy and keep the kingdom pure of heresy. This was obviously both for the state of the church and for the state of the Christian state. The irony of calling these executions auto de fe in Spain, the Spanish Inquisition, auto de fe, act of faith, is too deep to require comment. 1492 was not only the year in which Columbus sailed the ocean blue, but was also the year in which those most Catholic majesties, Ferdinand and Isabella, expelled all Jews from Spain. So this is an example of the kind of mixture of politics and of religion which became so enmeshed that it was very difficult for people to discern where one left off and the other started. Unfortunately, this combination of intolerance, Christian intolerance, and political force did not cease with the Protestant Reformation. Even with the Reformation in Europe, the same premise that there should be a link between political and religious power continued on every side. John Calvin oversaw and approved the execution of a heretic in the city of Geneva. Martin Luther advocated the suppression by violence, not only of Jews, the burning of the Talmud, expulsion, and so forth, but also the suppression of the Anabaptist movement, the Radical Reformation. And he wrote a notoriously virulent tractate to the German princes, scolding them for not using their might in order to suppress these forms of Reformation, which were regarded as unseemly by the hero of Wittenberg. Indeed, in European countries, as the sort of unified Latin culture began to disintegrate in the 16th century with world exploration on the one side, but also the development of individual principates and individual kingdoms and individual European languages that began to splinter off from Latin and then the emergence of the Germanic languages, so that the old European unity of empire and church began to be fragmented into a number of kingdoms with their separate languages, there developed the principle called cuius regio, eius religio. Whoever is the prince, he calls the religion. So if the prince of a duchy in Germany was Protestant or Lutheran, then that kingdom was Lutheran. If the king of Spain was Catholic, Spain was Catholic. Well, one consequence of this was that Christians became then as intolerant of each other and as politically violent with each other as they had been intolerant of Jews, heretics, and Muslims in earlier generations. And so what resulted was centuries of religious war. Wars between nations in Europe that continued over several hundred years, all in the name of Christ, remarkably, and in the name of, you know, the single right version of Christianity. Now,